Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Would you take your Bible and hold it to the Lord? If you don't have a Bible, look for a skinny person and hold them up to the Lord. There's a lot of them here today. I want you to say with me, this is the Word of God. This is God's plan for my life. It's a light unto my pathway. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a roadmap to heaven. And I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And I can be what it says I can be. In Jesus' name. As you're standing, turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I want you to follow with me as I begin reading. In Kentucky, more people smoke in Kentucky than any other state in America. My daddy used to tell me, he said, if you don't have a bunch of cigarette butts outside your church, you don't have much of a church. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have a Bible, hold up your cigarettes, because God can heal your cigarette smoking. Can I hear an amen? How many used to smoke? In Kentucky, there'd be almost everybody raise their hand. But it's not God's plan that a plant has authority over your life. It can shorten your life. But I want to read tonight. I want you to follow with me. Beginning in verse 2, it says, when you give. Then in verse 4, it says, and the Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. How many know there's a reward when you give? Amen? Then down in verse 6, it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into your closet. When you shut the door, pray to the Father, which sees in secret, and the Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you openly. How many know there's another reward when you pray? It's not the same reward by giving, but it's a different reward. There's a reward when you give, and there's a reward when you pray. And then in verse 7, it says, and when ye pray. Primary prayer is placed upon praying by yourself, when thou prayest. Then it goes to secondary prayer, when ye pray. There's some things that I won't pray about. If somebody's listening, even if my wife's listening, there are some things I won't pray about. And then in verse 16, it says, moreover, when ye pray. And then in verse 17, it says, and when thou prayest, when thou fastest, moreover, when ye fast. And then in verse 17, when thou fastest, it shows the two kinds of fasting. We're in a corporate fast. And so emphasis is placed on fasting corporately over fasting by yourself. And there's a reason. If I'm fasting by myself, I'm the guy doing all the plowing. But if I'm fasting with this body of believers and say this lady over here gets healed of migraine headaches, anybody else in this room's got migraine headaches, they can get healed too. If somebody gets a promotion financially, that means there's 20 other people going to get a promotion financially. And then it's easier to fast when everybody else is fasting. When mama goes on a diet, we all go on a diet. And then when you fast, the Bible says that it releases this anointing, a corporate anointing. So primary prayer is praying by yourself. But primary fasting is fasting corporately. And then it says this, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So there's a blessing that's separate than a praying blessing when you fast. It's different than a giving blessing. And so, praise God, you're in for a great blessing. Amen? Amen. Father, anoint this word tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I want to say to Pastor Jonathan and his wonderful family, they're some of the greatest people I've ever met. There are our favorite evangelists in Louisville, Kentucky. And I think you ought to give them a great big hand. God bless you. Um, I will tell you a secret. If you really want to see him really humble and praying in the Holy Ghost more sincerely, get him on a boat and praise God. I have a number of product and book. Here's a book entitled The Hundredfold Blessing. I didn't read this in a book. I didn't hear somebody talk about it. But I was fasting for 21 days. And at the end of that, God spoke to me. This is the product of what happens and what I was just sharing. When you pray, there's a 30-fold blessing. When you give, there's a 30-fold blessing. So when you give and you plant a seed, there's a 60-fold blessing. But the 100-fold blessing only comes when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And I'll share more about it. Here's a book that I wrote. Jensen Franklin, he got a copy of this book, and it's called 100 Days of Unbroken Prayer. And it tells what happens when you begin to pray and what you have to do to have a prayer life. Now, everybody prays. You pray the traffic light will turn green. You pray that you won't get caught by the police for speeding. I mean, there's all kind of prayers. But to pray, have a prayer life, number one, you have to have a time to pray. You got a time to get up. You got a time to go to bed. You got a time to go to work. You've got a time for everything in life. I don't believe everybody in this room gets hungry at 12 o'clock noon. But yet everybody eats. Why do they eat? It's time to eat. And so you ask people, when do you pray? Well, whenever God leads me. That means you don't pray. You have a time to pray. So in the Bible, the morning prayer was at 9 a.m. Evening prayer was at 3 a.m. And the greatest miracles that take place in the Bible are at 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's the time they pray. So you set a time. It's not 6 o'clock today and 12 noon tomorrow and just before you go to bed the next day. You keep your appointment with God. Then you have a place to pray. And I share that in this book. You have a pattern to pray. Here's a book that I wrote. It's entitled The Lord's Prayer Pattern, How the Lord Teaches to Pray. And it's based on the Lord's Prayer. I've prayed this prayer over 10,000 times. I have over 300 scriptures in here when you pray. It's a great one. And here's another one, 7 Steps to Answer Prayer. And praise the Lord. In the back, I encourage everyone to drop by. Here's a pattern of prayer. It's called the 21-Day Fasting Prayer Guide, and it has 21 prayers to pray during the fast. And then a magazine. This is a magazine entitled The 21-Day Fast. Now, I have a doctorate degree from Oral Roberts University, and I got it in fasting. And I have written the fasting magazines for some of the largest ministries in America. And I've written all of them, but this is the best one, I promise you. And I never wanted to fast, and when I started fasting, it was something that God really put me into. When I started the 21-day fast in Louisville, I had pastors come against me. I had everything. Many of my church took vacations in January when we'd start to fast. But when I started fasting, and I was able to fast, I think 14 40-day fasts, about 35 of these 21-day fasts, it opened the doors literally around the world. I've preached in the largest Presbyterian church in the world, the largest Methodist church in the world, the largest church in the world, the third largest church in the world, and it all wanted to preach about fasting. And there is a breakthrough that happens when you fast that doesn't happen any other time. I want to give you this magazine, and as many as I have, they're out on the table. Also, this prayer guide, just go by and pick them up, take as many as you want. I have one other thing I want to mention, and I'm going to shut up. And this is a Bible. This is a giant print compact Bible. This is the only one that you'll ever see. And you can't buy these at stores because I bought them all. But if you want to get this package, this you can buy these $10 a piece, or and the Bible is $30, so there's four books. For $50, you can get it all as long as they remain. Amen?
Amen.
Here you go. I'll set these right here. I'm the son of a pioneer Pentecostal preacher. I've lived above the church, below the church, in front of the church, and in back of the church. And 52 times a year, I came to church, and it didn't matter if I was sick or not. My dad believed that God would heal me, and I got healed whether I wanted to get healed or not, and I came to church. And if there was anything that I didn't want to do, I didn't want to be a preacher, because I thought all the preachers had to be poor, and I wanted to be a rich lawyer and help bail out all those poor preachers. But God got a hold of me, and God took that desire to be a lawyer out of me and put the desire to preach inside of me. And so I began to pastor a little church in Lexington, Kentucky, and I started in the seminary. And that church couldn't get a preacher, and I couldn't get a place to preach, and that's how we got together. And so the church in the first 3 months grew from 40 to 20. I don't know if you've ever been in a church like that, but that's what happened to us. And so in the midst of all this, my dad said, Bob, I'm going to Seoul, Korea, and I want you to go with me. He said, there's the world's largest church over there, and I want to see what they're doing. So I went with my dad. In those days, Dr. Cho pastored a church of about 45,000 people. And his mother-in-law was one of these that fasted and prayed. She just laid on the floor and just prayed and prayed and prayed until it happened. And she started what was called Prayer Mountain. And Dr. Cho had gotten a hold of Kenneth Hagin's book, and he was just speak to the mountain, speak to the mountain. And between Dr. Hagin and fasting, that's how that church began to grow. And so we went and saw Miss Dr. Cho's mother-in-law, Madam Che, and my dad said, what's the secret to growing your church and having a great church? And she said, pray, 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 and patted my dad on his stomach, fast, fast, fast. Well, my dad thought she didn't understand him, so she asked again, and again it was pray, 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 and fast, fast, fast. So I went up to Prayer Mountain, and there were 1,500 young people up at Prayer Mountain, and they were fasting for 1 week. And I'm there in this auditorium. They didn't have any chairs. We're sitting on the floor. And there was a lady there whose legs were twisted. She had never walked. She was sitting there on the floor, and those young people on that fast got up and laid hands on that lady. Her legs straightened out. I'll never forget it. I was as close from me to you. They straightened out. She got up, and she started running. I'm going to tell you, that changed my life forever. And so when I came home, I started fasting. I didn't know how to fast, but I started fasting. And I fasted since then anywhere from 50 to 115 days a year. And I'm going to tell you, there's things that happen when people fast that don't happen any other time. Now, what I want to do is take just for a moment and share some of those things, because many people have never understood this, or they are afraid to really speak it out, in all honesty. But when you begin to fast, you begin to enter into the supernatural, both good and bad. And so if a person has wrong attitudes, if they're mad at their husband, or they're angry at this one, and they start fasting and they start trying to put a curse on them, that curse literally will come on them, and demonic spirits can enter them. And so when people enter into a time of fasting, they need to purify themselves, and they need to understand that this is something that's not to mess with. I remember I was on a 3-day fast, and I was driving through downtown Louisville, and there was an abortion clinic. It was in a 5-story building, and they were having a protest at this abortion clinic. So I got out, and I walked over there, and I was standing there, and they were singing. There were Christians there singing. And I looked, and there, larger than that five-story building, were two demons. I'll never forget the one devil. He had a head like a triangle, and he had teeth. He must have had 150 teeth, and they were crossed and they were crooked, and they were standing there in great fear. And I said, "Oh God, these must be the strong men of Louisville." And the Lord spoke to me, said, "No, the strong man of Louisville as big as the largest building in this town." He said, "But I got angels bigger than they are." Hallelujah. And so there's great power that opens you up to the supernatural when you begin to fast and you begin to pray. I never saw an angel until I started fasting. When I started fasting, there was a release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, he talks about, and Paul wrote, he said to covet earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Desire spiritual gifts. To covet spiritual gifts. You know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. You're not to covet. You're not to covet your neighbor's Mercedes. You're not to covet his beautiful wife. You're not to covet his money, his house. But when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, you're to covet. You're to lust after them. You're to desire them just as much as you can. And the reason is that there is a limited supply of Mercedes. There's a limited supply of Rolex watches. But when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's more than enough to go around to everybody. Hallelujah. But one of those gifts that was released in my life was a gift of discerning of spirits. And I'm not talking about the gift of suspicion, but I'm talking about the gift to begin to see angels. And I have seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of angels. But it happens right now during this time of fasting. This lady right here, what's your first name? Yes, stand up, please. What's your name?
Sandra.
Sandra, God gives me a great promise for you. And it's found in the book of Zechariah. And it says in chapter 10, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Lord shall send bright clouds and showers of rain, and to everyone grass in the fields." Do you feel that right now? You know what that is? That's an angel of the Lord. And the Lord is going to begin to visit you, and God is going to give you a time that he'll come. And this angel will not come this time, but when he shows up, it will always be at the same time, and it's at 3:33. That's your time. And when you wake up and you see it's 3:33, get out of bed, go in the other room, and begin to worship the Lord, and this angel will begin to manifest. And he'll begin to speak to you. Now the Lord shows me you have a real anointing for intercessory prayer. God's had a call on your life since you were a little girl. And God's going to use you. The day will come that you will be anointed and stand before women. And you'll share great and mighty things. You'll share about hurts that happened to you. Private things that really you've never talked about. But the day will come when God will release that. And there's a great healing coming to you even now over those hurts. Lift up your hands right now. Even as a young little girl, God's healing you. God's healing your life. God's placing a mantle, a call on you that's going to be greater than anything that your family's ever seen. Because the power of God has a destiny for your future. Oh, isn't that a great word from the Lord? Come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Now, let me share very briefly, and I don't want to preach real long. And share real long, but I want to share a few things that'll be powerful. The first thing that you'll understand about fasting is fasting puts you in a place that get breakthroughs where prayer alone doesn't give you. There's some things in life that prayer alone, it won't take you. You have to have fasting. I don't care who you are. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Come on, raise your right hand. Wave at me. Say, I love that scripture.
I love that scripture.
Say, that's my favorite scripture.
That's my favorite scripture.
It says this. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to another. And what happens is the spirit man, it wants to do things, but the flesh wants to do something else. And so there's a struggle that goes on, and usually the struggle's in two areas. Number one, it's with your will. Your will versus the will of God. And most people think this. They think, well, you know, man, I want to do this great thing. I want to accomplish mighty things, but God wants me to do this. Oh, praise God. I'm going to humble myself and come down here where God is. But that's the biggest lie that the devil has ever told you. God's plan is so much greater and so much bigger than our finite, puny plan for ourselves. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a millionaire. God's plan takes me where I'm able to do things that rich people can't afford to do. I'm able to meet people that you have an appointment to get in with kings and rulers. And it happened through going into God's will. So what hinders the answers to prayer is your will versus God's will. And then our fleshly appetites, what kind of turns us on, what kind of things we enjoy that's contrary to the move of God. There are things that just God just is it's not right. And yet our desire is to do those things in the flesh, and it's contrary to the spirit. Now, there's a great scripture, and it says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Say that with me. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Let's say it again. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Now I need some help. Come here and help me. Could both of you fellows come here? Now let's do it this way. Go up there and stand by that speaker, and you stand. You come over here. You stand right here. All right? Sir, could you help me? I want you to stand over here. Now, does that look like a triangle? Does that kind of look like a triangle?
Yeah.
Now, let's make this a little bigger. Come on over here a little bit more. And you move down just a little bit. Now, this triangle is what God has for you. This is God's plan. Anything in this triangle, you have the right to pray for. You have the right to believe God for. If it's outside the triangle, forget it. It's out of God's plan. And so you can pray. You can stand on the word of God and ask God's blessings on this triangle. And I need some other help. I'm going to ask these pretty ladies to come. Would you come, please, both of you? I want you to stand right here. And I want you to stand right here. Now, can you see this triangle? And you see up at this point, though, of the triangle, it's more limited right here. It's limited right in here. This is the area that the only access is through fasting. And in this area is the exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. You can pray down here, but to get up here, you have to fast. I feel, Brother Bob, God's got a call on me to travel the world, to heal the sick. The anointing that was on Oral Roberts is just minor how it's going to be on me. Well, praise God. But that's in here. That's through fasting and prayer. And if you don't, so what Brother Jonathan has done, he's invited you to step up here. This is not a torture season. This is a season for you to rise higher. And sometimes the blessing doesn't happen just immediately. But all year long, you'll be blessed because of what you do right now.
Amen.
Come on, give these a great big hand. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, let me share just a little bit of what I'm talking about. God spoke to me and told me to go on this 40-day fast. Can y'all see me better over here? So I went on this 40-day fast, and it was a hard fast. I didn't eat a thing. I drank juices. I didn't eat soup. I didn't eat a breath mint. And at the end of that 40 days, I was so hungry, I felt like I had sinned because I had bought several cookbooks and just looked at the food. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I don't want you to break the fast. I want you to fast for 100 days. And I said, if I do, I'll die. And so I looked in the calendar, and 100 days ended on Easter. So I knew that this was really the Lord speaking to me. And so I began to eat one small meal a day. And I fasted 100 days. At the end of 100 days, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to go to Israel. I want you to meet with the president of the Palestinians. And I'm going to give you a Christian TV station. Now, to give you an idea, Abbas, President Abbas, is the president, actually, of the Palestinians. But there's a prime minister, which is Salam Fayyad. And so I was able to meet with Salam Fayyad, and I said, I want permission to build a Christian TV station. He laughed at me. He said, Hamas will kill you and me both. We got talking. And to give you an idea of what we're talking about, Trinity Broadcasting, Paul Crouch, when he was alive, gave $500,000 to Arafat for permission to build a TV station. Arafat took the money, and they never got a station. And so everyone has tried to do this, Pat Robertson, and people that are so much, you know, they've forgotten more about TV than I know. And so I said, no. I said, you're supposed to let me build a TV station. And as we began to talk, he said, well, you know, really, this may be an answer to some of my problems. The American government is putting so much pressure on me that there needs to be more religious freedom. So he gave me permission to build a TV station in Bethlehem, Holy Land Broadcasting. Now, that station is located on the highest point in Bethlehem. The fact, as I look down the hill, those are the plains of Boaz. This hill is where David took care of his sheep. And as I look down the valley and I look over into Jerusalem, I can see the Dome of the Rock on a clear day. Now, how did I get that station? How did that happen? That station was up here, not down here. And those things only come through prayer and fasting. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, say to yonder mountain to be removed to yonder place, it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Say that with me. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's up here, not down here. And then the next word said, howbeit, or for those things to happen to you, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. I have a friend of mine. He's the son of a bootlegger. His uncle killed a guy. He's as rough a guy as you ever saw. And so he began to go on these 21-day fasts. He pastors a church in Tennessee. And he's fasting 21 days. He is so regimented in fasting. He fasts once a week. I don't care if it's his anniversary. I don't care if it's his wife's birthday, he's fasting. You know, I got more sense than that. I'm going to stay married for a long time. But he fasts. So a guy comes into his church he's never met, sitting in the back, and he's touched, and he comes to the pastor and says, Pastor, I want to give you this. And for the church, it was $1,400,000. You say, well, that's never happened to me. No, but it happened to him because he lives up here. So I gave him a word. I said, you know, Barry, God showed me he's going to give you a home. He's going to give you a new house. I don't want a new house. I like where I'm living. I said, well, okay. So a guy calls him. He said, Pastor, he said, I've got to move. I'm moving. And I was trying to sell my house, and the Lord spoke to me that I'm supposed to give it to you. Now, so Barry goes over to look at this house. It's in the gated community where the coach of the University of Tennessee, where he lives. I mean, they're all million-dollar homes. His was appraised at $1.3 million, and they gave it to him, paid for. Now, how did that happen? Well, he lives over here where those things happen. And many times, if we live here, we don't understand how this thing works. But this is where, this is the difference. And so when we talk about, and I will reward you openly, that is a blessing that comes as you fast. Now, if I give this lady $100, that's a blessing. So she goes out and she eats at a real nice restaurant, and that $100 gone. But if I give her a Mercedes automobile, how many know there's a difference? Everybody sees her in that Mercedes. Well, that is what God's saying to you. Hey, this isn't going to be a $100 bill where you go to Ruth Chris. This is going to be something that blesses you and changes everything. Yeah. Come on, give the Lord a great big praise. The second thing that I want to share with you that will happen, it will affect you physically. It absolutely will. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, verse 8, it says, your health shall spring forth speedily. Speedily. That means God is going to heal you quickly. Now, there's two types of miracles that happen as you fast. Number one, there's a supernatural healing. And, I mean, there's just supernatural things that happen physically. And right now, God's doing things in this room with your eyesight. And I sense people have problems with their vision, that God's going to heal you to the place you can throw away those glasses. And I'm just as serious as can be. The fact is, about 2 years ago, and I was telling Brother Jonathan, he came and he was preaching during our time of fasting. And there was a girl that she's grown up in our church. Her name's Emma, and Emma just was legally blind. They gave her glasses when she was 3 years old to go to the bathroom. And so Jonathan's preaching. He's preaching on faith. You can rise higher. And so her mother walked up, and he laid hands on her, and she was standing for Emma. The next day, her vision in her left eye was 20/450, and in her right eye, it was 20/550. The next day, she goes to the eye doctor, and it was 20/20. Wow. Hallelujah. Isn't that fantastic? This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. I had we had a guy in our church. He was a part owner of a nightclub. He just chased the women like you would not believe, and it was a miracle because he was as ugly as homemade soap. And he had glasses that were as thick as Coke bottles. I mean, maybe that's why he got so many women. He couldn't see who was chasing. I don't know. But I mean, they were as thick as you could imagine. And so he got saved. He really got saved. And so he said, what I want to do is do something for God. And in those days, we had a bus ministry. It was a big bus ministry. We had about 30 buses. And he said, I want to work on those buses. And so it was cold. It was in January, February. And it was the coldest Louisville had ever seen. And we went through almost 30 days where it was in the teens and in single digits. And so we didn't have a bus garage, so we put this lean-to up with plastic and two-by-fours, and you could pull the front end of the bus in, and he had a salamander heater, and he'd work on those buses. And he went on a 40-day fast, water only, working in that cold for 40 days. At the end of that time, he saw 20/20 vision. I'm telling you, God healed that man. Those who have, you need a healing in your eyes, stand up right now. I sense the healing power of God right here. Place your hands over your eyes right now. Someone here has got cataracts. Who's got the cataracts? Who's got, not the Cadillacs, but the cataracts right over here. Place your hand over your eyes. Father, I thank you there's an anointing to heal eyes. Lord, I speak 20/20 vision. I come against stigmatism. I speak healing in that left eye. That blurry vision in the right eye. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, I command those cataracts to begin to melt. Begin to melt. Begin to melt. Come off in the name of Jesus. Be healed for the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. But let me tell you something else. There's a natural healing that takes place. Now, if you fast for 21 days, there's one thing I'll guarantee you. You'll lose 10 pounds. And let me tell you what happens if you lose 10 pounds. First of all, it affects your sleep where you have a good chance that you won't snore. And all the women say, thank God. Number two, it affects your blood pressure. It affects your sugar levels, which affect everything in your life. It affects your kidneys. It affects your heart. It affects your cholesterol. It will help heal you of arthritis as you fast. I had a fellow who had sciatica for 15 years. And he goes on this fast, and God healed him totally of sciatica. It affects your digestive system. It heals that. And one of the things that they have done tests over, the fact is they use 900 people, they use 57 different tests, and they all came to the same conclusion. If you fast these 21 days, you'll live 3 years longer. It's the truth. You will live 3 years longer by simply fasting this 21 days. So praise God. Let me share one other thing, and I want to pray. And that is, one of the great things that fasting does, it releases the revelation of God. Now, do you remember the story of the Apostle Paul? Actually, Saul was his Hebrew name, but because he ministered to the Greeks, they called him his Greek name, Paul. And he hated Christians. He felt his mission in life was to kill all the Christians he could. And on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Christ. And he fell from his beast of burden. He was blinded. And God spoke to him. He said, why are you kicking against me? Why persecutest thou me? And so he went on a 3-day fast of no water and no food. It's called an absolute fast, and it's the most powerful fast you can do, but you should never go over 3 days. You go over 3 days and you risk your kidneys shutting down, and once that happens, most of the time they don't come back. But he fasted for 3 days, and God spoke to the bishop of the church of Damascus. His name was Ananias. God spoke to him, and he gave him Saul's name. Number two, it showed him what the address where he was staying. Thirdly, it spoke to him what the mission was in his life. And so he went to see Saul of Tarsus. When he walked into the room, he said, Brother Saul. And he walked over to him and he laid his hands on him and the scales on his eyes fell off. God healed him. And then he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And immediately he began to to preach. He began to talk about the Lord, and they tried to kill him, and they had to lower him over the walls of Damascus in a basket with ropes. And he escaped into the wilderness, into the desert, and he lived 3 years there alone with the Holy Ghost and in fastings. He didn't meet with the apostles. He didn't meet with John. He didn't meet with anybody. It was just him, the Lord. And the Bible says, I was in fastings often. That means he fasted every week. And he was in thirstings. That means he would fast without water. And in watchings often. That means he was in all-night prayer meetings. And so during that time, God gave him the revelation that we have here tonight. He didn't get it from anybody. It came during periods of fasting. He's the one who came with the revolution of communion. That didn't come from Peter or John. Jesus didn't teach that. It was the Apostle Paul. I received this of the Lord. This is the Lord's body. This is the Lord's blood. As often as ye eat it and drink it, you partake of the cup of blessing. And if you don't discern it, you'll not be healed. And because of that, people die who could be healed. He's the fellow that came up with the revelation of spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That was never taught in the Old Testament. There were pictures of it, but there was never the teaching of spiritual warfare. It was the Apostle Paul as he fasted. He's the guy who came up with the concept of divorce. Where you had, until that time, and unless your husband or wife committed adultery, forget it, you were stuck. But when he came up, he said, if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. You desertion, for them to walk out on you, is grounds for divorce or as if you were never married. He is the guy who came up that God's a good God and the devil's a bad devil. There's no badness in God and there's no goodness in the devil. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. He's the fellow that came up with the concept of water baptism. He said, it's like unto the children of Israel who crossed through the Red Sea. And the Egyptians were destroyed through water baptism. Egypt was the world. Egypt was drug addiction. Egypt was pornography. Those things that would lock themselves to you, but through water baptism, if you release your faith, they're destroyed and killed through water baptism. It was the Apostle Paul. He's the guy who came up with the concept of prosperity. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Who came up with the concept of speaking in tongues? It was the Apostle Paul. I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the understanding. He's the guy that began to teach the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He talks about the nine spiritual gifts of the Holy Ghost. They come in three at a time, he says. He is the fella. He even came up with seed faith giving. That didn't come up with Oral Roberts. That came up with the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. In Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs. Well, those are the two buns, but in between's the meat. Where's the meat? I want to talk to you. No one communicated concerning giving and receiving, but you Philippians only. That's stuck in between Philippians 4:13 and Philippians 4:19. The concept, you can plant a seed and God will bring the miracle. Come on, hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah. Who came up with the idea and the concept of substitution, the cross? He became sick so that we could become well. He became sin that we could become the righteousness of God. It was the Apostle Paul. He taught it and explains it in the book of Corinthians. When you begin to fast, God will begin to show you things that you've never seen before. I want to share this with you. This is amazing. Thomas Aquinas wrote most of the theology, actually, that we have in Christianity. He was in a time when there was just the church, before there was the division. He was in the 1500s. And so what happened was he came up with a concept of Christians are to be poor. That was his concept. That was Thomas Aquinas. And so when you became a priest in the Catholic Church, even today, you take a vow of poverty. So along comes this guy named Martin Luther. Martin Luther lives in Germany, which if you were to go here to Pittsburgh and you go to the real crime center and you go to the place where they're the poorest of the poor and where more people are on welfare in that neighborhood, that's where Germany was. That was Germany, the poorest of all of Europe. And so he decides he's going to translate the Bible into German. So he's translating and translating. He gets halfway through and he decides, well, maybe I ought to fast. Maybe God will show me some stuff if I fast. So on this 40-day fast he goes on, at the conclusion, he takes all the translation he's done and he rips it in little bitty pieces and throws it in the fire. He said, this is trash, what God's showing me. And so he comes back and he translates the Bible into German, and then he wrote 600 books. The first book he wrote was a counter to Thomas of Aquinas, and it was why God wants you to be rich. And it was based upon the scripture in Deuteronomy 8:18, and I will give you power to make wealth for the establishment of the covenant. I'll give you power to make wealth, to become wealthy, so you can increase your tithes. So you can come to church and plant $1,000 gifts. I will give you power to make wealth so you can give hundreds of thousands of dollars in your lifetime. So you can give $1 million in your lifetime to help build the work of God. That was his revelation. And then he wrote 95 books to continue this heretic word that Thomas gave about poverty. Of the 600 books, 95 of them were to say, the revelation I got is God wants you to be wealthy. Yes. Now, I want to share with you right now. Let me tell you where the power to make wealth is. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. And Christians have a poverty mentality. We think poor. Hey, where do you go to school? Oh, I go to this junior college over here. Let me explain. You know, it's a lot cheaper there. And then when I get, you know, it's a good school, though. And they got good professors. And then when I get through that, I'll go to the University of Pittsburgh. Now, people who go to the University of Pittsburgh can explain it in about 2 seconds. Where do you go to college? University of Pittsburgh. Where do you go? I go to this junior college, but it's a good, I'm saving a lot of money. What difference does it make where you go? You don't have the money to go there anyway. Listen, I have a doctorate degree. I went to Oral Roberts University. It was a 4-year course, and I finished that 4-year course in just 5 short years. And then I went on my master's degree, and what normal people did in 2 years, it only took me 4 years. But I'm here to tell you, what difference does it make? I didn't have any money anyway. And so if I didn't have any money, I might as well go to the best one I can go. It didn't take me any more faith to believe God. Now I say that because I thought poor. My dad, you know, we started churches. He started over 100 churches. And honestly, you know, it sounds real exciting, but everything you've got goes to pay the lights, goes to pay the utilities, goes to pay whatever, and anything's left over becomes yours. So honestly, my dad had to sell his car because he couldn't afford the gasoline. Well, he didn't like that. So he bought a $500 car from a funeral home. He came home in a hearse. He drove his hearse. So he said, well, Bob, we're going to school tomorrow. Here, I'll drive you to school. We got about 3 blocks from school. Dad, let me out here. I remember people would give you things, you know, as a preacher's son. I don't know if that happened to you, Jonathan, but they'd give you things, and their kids wore it out, and so they gave it to the preacher. And because of that, I've never liked antiques. I just like it brand new. And so they gave me these pajamas, and I didn't know what they were. It had yellow pants and a yellow and white striped shirt. And I thought, man, these are kind of nice. And so I had them in my drawer, and there was we had some guests over, and they had a girl. Her name was Sharon. She was about my age, and I was really trying to make a good impression. And so I got cleaned up. I said, well, I'm wondering what I'm going to wear. And so I go through there, and I found those yellow pants and that yellow and white striped shirt. And I'll never forget it. They arrived, and I made my grand appearance, and my mother, she looked at me, and she said, oh, my God, Bob, are you sick? I said, you've got on pajamas. And I said, yeah, I don't feel good at all. But honestly, I just thought poor. I didn't think I could afford that. I didn't think I could afford this. And I'll tell you a little secret. I probably shouldn't tell it. When I started really fasting, I had to fast because I didn't have any money to buy food. It was called a forced fast. And so I started visiting people about dinner time. I'd show up. Oh, Pastor Bob, so we were just having dinner. Oh, I've come at the wrong time. Oh, no, why don't you come in and join us? Well, thank you. Okay. And so that worked really good until I visited these two old maids. They lived together. And I said, well, Brother Bob, why don't you come in and join us? I said, we just got our food from Meals on Wheels. I said, oh, I didn't know you got it from Meals. I wouldn't eat your food. Go ahead and eat it. It was Mexican food. We didn't like it. We gave it to the cat. The cat threw it up. So And so, what am I talking about? I'm talking about poor man's thinking. The Jews don't think that way. They think, hey, man, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm supposed to loan you money. I don't need to borrow money. The Jews don't have an IQ that's bigger than your IQ. They just think different. And so if you are going to be a person that God's called you to be financially, it comes through fasting. Here I'm on this, I was on a 40-day fast on this one. And this angel comes, and he stands at the end of my bed. And I wake up, it's 3:33. And so I get up, I go into the other room, and this angel, I said, who are you? I've seen a lot of angels, but I've never seen an angel like this one. He said, I am the angel of prosperity. I said, well, where you been all my life? This angel, he says to me, he said, and he showed me where he was in the Bible. And he showed me about an hour and a half teaching in a snap of a finger. He showed me Genesis 31:11, where Jacob had a dream and the angel of the Lord came to him. And he gave him the concept and the business plan of the spotted and the speckled. He showed me Joseph, and Joseph was a prosperous man, and the Lord was with Joseph. He said it was the angel of the Lord, the angel of wealth. And when a person fasts, and whether you realize this or not, you, the angel of wealth, is with you. We have to understand this. We have to activate this. We have to begin to see how this thing works. I went on this fast, and the Lord spoke to me and showed me how I could prosper. And in 3 years, I became a millionaire. And then it doubled again. And then it doubled again. And it doubled again. It happens through fasting and prayer. The concept, the revelation that will change your life. I had this guy in our church. He's on this 21-day fast, and he's sound asleep. And all of a sudden, he sets up, turns the light on, gets a pad and starts drawing and all this kind of stuff. And so his wife, you know, she rolls over. And so the next morning she said, "What'd you do last night?" "I didn't do anything." "No, no, no. You woke up, you turned the light on, you drew a bunch of stuff." "I did not." And so they go over there, and he drew and invented the toothpaste pump.
Wow.
He's on a 21-day fast. God gave him the revelation. I want to close with this, and I want to pray. There was this guy, his name was Leon Coffin. Anybody ever heard of Leon Coffin? This guy lived back in the 1800s, and he was a Quaker. Well, the Quakers, they went on a long fast at the beginning of the year, and they usually fasted 2 days a week. And so there's in North Carolina, and he goes into town with his dad. He's about 15 years old, and there is a slave auction. For the first time in his life, he saw somebody being auctioned off. It was a woman. She had a little baby with her. She was being sold. She was purchased. And she said, please buy the baby too. She said, "I don't want to leave my baby." And they pulled the baby from her. And then they auctioned off the baby. She screamed. She cried. And it did something. It did something to Coffin, Levi. And so they said, I don't want to be down here. And so the family moved up to Indiana. At those days was the Fugitive Slave Act. The Fugitive Slave Act was passed in a time when really America was trying to get rid of slavery. And so there were free states and there were slave states. And so if you were a slave and you escaped to a free state, you're free. And so to kind of bring this to an end and draw a line that Missouri is going to be the last state that becomes a slave state, what we're going to do is pass this Fugitive Slave Law, that if you do escape to Indiana or you do escape to a free place, you can go get them. You can hire a bounty hunter and they can bring back that slave. And if you help those slaves, then you can be in prison for up to 2 years and it will cost you a fine of almost a year's salary. And so it was a deterrent for anybody to help these slaves. Well, here comes Levi Coffin. Have you ever heard of the Underground Railroad? Well, he was the daddy of the Underground Railroad. I don't care what they say. We're going to help these slaves. He had fast. God speak to him. And he opened a dry goods business. And, man, it prospered like crazy. And those slaves would come. And he would keep them in his home. And so what they did was they began to give a bounty. And they began to give a reward if you turned in anybody that was hiding slaves. So he moves to Cincinnati and there's a lot more people come through there. And so there was a lady by the name of Betsy, Aunt Betsy. She lived over in Kentucky. She had a big fruit cart of vegetables. But inside of that, she could put two slaves. She'd ride that ferry across into Cincinnati. She would sell those vegetables and she would come down to where Levi Coffin's home was. And those slaves would go into the home. And this happened day after day, week after week. And they tried to catch him. God preserved him. God protected him. And so one day there was this slave, Eliza. Eliza heard her master talk, said, "Tomorrow we're going to sell Eliza. And we're going to sell her son." She had a 2-year-old boy. She had lost two children. But she had this 2-year-old boy. And she knew that if she was ever going to keep this child, she had to escape tonight. It was just before Christmas. She was on the Kentucky side. It had snowed. It was freezing cold. And much of the Ohio River was frozen over. There were large chunks of ice. So with that little baby, she wades out into the water. She gets on one of those chunks of ice. She gets over into another and she begins to cross the Ohio River, almost It can be almost a mile in that location. She falls in the water. Some of the ice breaks. It's a miracle. When she gets to the other side, she's freezing. That little baby's holding on to her. And you know who's waiting for her? Levi Coffin. He takes her to his house. He helps her to escape up into Canada. They go around that Fugitive Slave Act. And in his lifetime, over 3,000 slaves escaped, and not one was caught. Well, there was a preacher's daughter, and she heard about Eliza. And it so impressed her, she wrote a book, Uncle Tom's Caverns. She wrote this book, and it became one of the best sellers, just like Fenimore Cooper's books, just like Treasure Island and all the classics, the Uncle Tom's Cabin. And it was Abraham Lincoln, when he met this little short lady, he said, "So you're the woman who started the Civil War." It started with Levi Coffin. And something else interesting, he became a multimillionaire. Here he's fasting. And God would show him and warn him during the fast of things and traps. He learned to listen to it during the fast. He became a multimillionaire through his dry good business. He began to sell meats and so forth. It just expanded. And then in a time when people lived and the life expectancy was 41 years old. In other parts of the world, it was actually 29, but 41 here in America, he lives to be 80. There's a great promise, and it's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 28, and it says, "The path of righteousness is life." Say that with me. "The path of righteousness is life, and in it there is no death." And that word righteousness has to do with giving to the poor. Your money becomes righteous when you help the poor. And giving to the poor is the path of life, which means that you won't die before your time. And most of the time, it means God will expand your life. So if your family are dying when they're in their 60s, my grandmother died at 58. My dad died at 61. My grandpa was a state marshal. He got killed at 52. But I feed 50,000 people every month. God called me to help the poor. Shoot, I'm going to live to 80 or 90 years old. Hallelujah. What did he do? He doubled his age. He became wealthy. And he fulfilled his mission in life. Now, some of you are on a sissy fast. I know I can smell your breath. But let me tell you something. If you'll fast, even between now and Sunday night, God will release a blessing on you. God will release a powerful blessing on you that will absolutely affect you in July. That will affect you next August of what you do right now. I'd like for this couple to stand right here. What's your first name?
Dean.
Dean? Is this your girlfriend?
Yeah. 36 years.
What's your first name?
Denise.
Dean and Denise. God gives me a great word for you. It's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 35, verse 27. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor his righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." Let them say continually. Continually. It's a walk of faith. Father, I confess it. You're blessing me. Your hand's on me. And I say that because God's hand's upon you mightily to prosper and to be blessed. What kind of work you do?
Sell automobiles.
Well, this is going to be your best year. Absolute your best year when it's hard to get cars. This is going to be a good year for you. And what God is going to do, God's going to open up an opportunity for you that you've never had that opportunity before. And during this time, God is going to release with you an understanding and a concept of how to sell, which is totally new. This is going to be a totally new thing. And God's going to open doors through this concept that's going to make you absolutely the top salesperson in the Pittsburgh. And God's going to bless you in a way that you've never been blessed. This is your season, my brother, because you've had a heart for the work of God. And you've had a heart to give. You are a giver. And now God says it's time for you to get paid back. And He pays back more than what you give. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands out here, Cole. Father, I thank you for Dean. I speak the anointing of God. I loose the angel of prosperity in your life. Your hands are anointed to prosper in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My sister, God gives me a real great word for you. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19. And it says this, a person of wisdom is greater than the mayor of 10 big cities. And God has absolutely given you an anointing of wisdom about money. There's a wisdom upon you in the name of Jesus. And God is going to show you things, and you are going to be a voice to your husband. You're going to encourage him. God's going to show you things in the nighttime. God's going to wake you up in the middle of the night. God's prepared you for this. This is not something new. This is something ordained of God. And He's stirring a new level, what He's going to do for you for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. I want to pray tonight for God to release great wealth. Now, my daddy told me if I wouldn't drink or smoke, he'd buy me a car when I got 21. Well, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, and I got 21. He said, well, I'm not going to buy you a car. He said, I'm going to buy you a house. And so he gave me the down payment. He didn't pay for the house, but he gave me the down payment to buy this duplex. So I lived in one side, rented out the other, and it made the payments. And so I bought another house. Then I bought another house. Then I bought 10 houses. Then I bought 50 houses. Then I bought 100 houses. Then I bought 200 houses. And you know, a lot of them were shotgun houses. I paid $5,000 for this one junky house, sold it for $77,000. But I learned to buy houses and to flip houses. And so God spoke to me and He said, I'm gonna give you a TV station. Well, I didn't own a TV. The fact is, I said, I better get me a television. So I went down to Walmart and I bought me a black and white TV for $63. And on the way home, I broke the antenna off and had to use a coat hanger to get a picture. That's a God's truth. I still have that TV. And I got that station on the air, and you couldn't see it across the street. I mean, it was a mess, but God helped me. And so the same way I bought houses, I started buying TV stations. All I was doing was adding a few more zeros. The concept was the same. On the way down here, I talked to a guy, I'm buying another radio station. So I've got 8 radio stations and I got 7 TV stations. Now, how did I do that? How'd that happen? I wanted to be a rich lawyer and help all those poor preachers. But the will of God and the plan of God, and if you'll fast and pray, God will take the lid off of you. And God will catapult you to another level. I don't know how else to say it. You'll be able to do what rich people can't afford to do in the name of Jesus. If you're here and you want to give $1 million to God's work in your lifetime, stand up. I wanted to be a millionaire. And God said, forget that. said, give $1 million. And I have again and again. But it started by giving my tithe. It started by giving in the offerings. I made a vow every time that offering was passed, I'd give something. Then I remember I started giving $100 a week. I was happy at $100 a week, never wanted to give more than $100 a week. And then God spoke to me to give $1,000. I thought you had to be a millionaire to give $1,000. But you don't, you just have to have $1,000. And then God said, I want you to trust me to give $1,000 a week. God told me that when I didn't make $1,000 a week. And then when that angel came to me, and it took me about 2 or 3 years before I could give $1,000 a week. And I tell you, I didn't have any, I just wondered how I was going to make it next week. And then when this angel came to me, he said, I want you to double that. I want you to give $2,000 a week. I said, oh God, I don't know if I can do that. But you don't know what you can do until you try. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. This couple right here. What's your name, sir?
Samuel.
And your first name?
Correct.
Are you all together?
Yeah.
How long y'all been married?
Nearly 2 years.
2 years. You have children? Well, you're going to have a son. And this son one day will be famous. And he'll be incredibly intelligent. That has to come from you, right? Hallelujah. He'll be incredibly intelligent. He'll end up getting scholarships. Doors of opportunity will open to him. And there will be a spirit of inventive. He'll invent things. He'll come up and find things. There will be something related. What kind of work you do? Pardon me? You're a preacher. Well, this boy is going to be a healer. And I want to say a doctor. But there's going to be an incredible anointing on that child. And God's going to use you as in great things. Join hands, please. God gives me a great promise for you. The promise is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 3. And it says, I will pour water upon them that are thirsty and floods upon their dry ground. And I will pour my spirit on your seed and my blessing on your offspring, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You got a great future ahead of you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Lift your hand high. Lift your hands high. Father, today I sensed when I walked in here, that angel of blessing, that angel of prosperity. I curse poverty off of you. I curse poor man's thinking off of you. I want you to reach up and touch your head. Touch your head. Say in Jesus' name, come out.
Come out of me.
Say, I'll never think poor again.
God's hands upon me.
There's an anointing on me to prosper.
God's
going
to give me ideas.
Prosperous ideas.
Ideas that will multiply me
and bless my future.
God's blessing me
so I can be a giver.
So I can increase my tithing.
In Jesus' name.
For the glory of God.
Put your hand right here on your
chest.
Now in the name of Jesus, I pray the power of God will begin to speak to you and wake you at night. I loose the anointing of God in the midnight hour. I loose the presence of God to come upon you and God to speak to you in Jesus' name for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, just begin to pray in tongues. Leandaraboko yatalaboko. Boltiandaraboko yandarakiyatalaboko. Boriandaraboko yandaraboko yatalaboko. Yatalaboko diandaraboko yandaraki. Lay your hand on your chest and pray for yourself in tongues. Come on, pray for yourself in the Holy Ghost. Bobo bobo ko yata la ki yandara de boku yandara de boku yata la boku liata la boku yanda. Now focus your thinking on every member of your family and begin to pray for them in the Holy Ghost. Bobo bobo ko yata liandara de boku yandara de ki boti yandara de boku yandara de boku yata la ki aboko yata tata ki yandara de boku yandara de boku. Stretch your hand out here to Brother Jonathan. Pray for him and the Holy Ghost. Come on. Put your hand on your billfold or your purse. Begin to pray for it in the Holy Ghost. Bobo bobo ko kibi yandara boku yata la ka ki yanda liata ta 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 boku yandara boku. Come on, God's doing something. God's breaking something in Jesus' name. Bobo bobo ko liata liata la boku yandara boku yandara boku yata la boku. Now join hands with the person next to you. Begin to pray for them in the Holy Ghost. Come on, Lata, Leanda, Borianda, Laboko, Yanda, Laboko, Yata, Laboko, Vivianda, Laboko, Yanda, Laboko, Yanda, Kiata, Laboko, Bobo, Bobo, Boko, Kibianda, Laboko, Yanda, Laboko, Yata, Laboko, Lata, Boko, Yanda, Laboko, Yata, Laboko. Yata ta 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 boku yandara da boku yandara da boku yata la boku. Now lift your hands high to the Lord. Begin to worship Him in the Holy Ghost. Bo 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 boku yata la boku yandara da boku yata la boku yandara da boku yandara da boku yata la boku. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let's give the Lord a great big praise clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want every head bowed. With your head bowed, I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, next to loving you, I love the people of God. I ask you to take out of me all unforgiveness, all wrong desires, and fill me with a spirit of kindness and a spirit of love to all people. May I never hate people because of their color, because of their nationality, because of their religion. But may I love everybody. Now, with nobody looking around, how many are here and you say, Pastor, there are things in my life that aren't right. I know they're not right. There may be strongholds, weaknesses, but you want God to make you clean, squeaky clean. Can I see your hand? Just hold your hand up. Yes. Come on, put them up there. Yes, 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 yes. I want you to continue this prayer. So, Lord Jesus, everybody, Lord Jesus, you have a plan for my future. And devil, you're not in that plan. Father, cleanse me. Squeaky clean from all unrighteousness. All impurities, all weaknesses, strongholds, family iniquities. Take it out of me now. Cover me with your precious blood. Father, as best I know how, I mean this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around and give somebody a big high five. Come on. Smile at them. And you may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. How many glad you came to church tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be here tomorrow night, and I encourage you to come and invite others to come with you. I'm going to wear my tuxedo tomorrow. I didn't know y'all dressed up so much. I would have. I tell you, it's an honor to be here. And but tomorrow night, I want to pray for people, number one, who want to lose weight. And number two, I want to pray for people who have hurts and bruises that have never healed. It may be you went through a situation of abuse. God's anointed me, and God will heal you and deliver you. And tomorrow night, I want you to come. We're going to believe God for it. But right now, we're going to receive the offering. Let's give the Lord a great big praise clap. Hallelujah. Say with me, I love to give. Come on, with a smile on your face. Say, I love to give.
To the work of God.
Say, I'm a cheerful giver. Now laugh three times. Ha, ha, ha. Tonight, as we receive this offering, I'm going to ask everyone here that can to give an offering of $23. $23 is for this 20 year 2023. It's also for the 23rd Psalm. It's interesting, on the 23rd Psalm, the seven redemptive names of Christ are in that 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Jehovah Rohi. I shall not want. That's Jehovah Rapha. That's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. It goes on, and all seven of the redemptive names of Christ are in that. Some may want to give more or less, but I have this. We have a television station there in Israel. It is the only Christian station in the Holy Land. There are other that broadcast by satellite, but there are no broadcast stations. They tried to. Hamas came in, and the FBI warned us. They tried to kill my daughter. They put a hit on her. She was managing the station. ISIS sent a suicide bomber to come, and the Israelis caught him, and it's really been a challenge. And this past week, they told me I need $45,000. And that's not a lot of money for God. But whatever you can do will be a great blessing. And I ask you to give very liberally, make your checks or pay to the church here. And some can give more, some can give less, but the secret of a good offering is if everybody gives something. And if you do what God tells you to do, how many know it will be enough? Amen? Praise God. I'm going to turn it over to your pastor, and Pastor, God bless you. Let's give Brother Jonathan another great big hand.
Let's give Pastor Bob a big hand. Pastor Jonathan did nothing. Isn't that a great ministry? Isn't it nice not hearing somebody just scream at you for like an hour and a half? Like some lunatic. I could listen to that for hours. Last time we were talking on the phone a couple months ago, he said, I was just preaching in Maui. I said, I know, I listened to the sermon. I search for him on YouTube all the time. And I love listening to him. I love everything he shares. It's such an effortless anointing. And I know tomorrow's going to be powerful, so bring people that need help. And God's just so good. I have such an expectation for this year. You know, even when I'm to go back to Daystar tomorrow after going last week, and then guess where my dad lands in the morning? Fort Worth. Yeah, I never get to see my dad because he has a court order against me, but we're... The point is, it'll be nice to see him. So I'll see him. Pastor Rodney's going to be there. I mean, that's the Lord. He just texted me during service. So you're going to be there. I'm going to be there too. We should get dinner. God's just little things like that. And all the people asking about church today after we're praying, I'm going to keep doing that, fasting and praying about people getting saved. And it's just so easy to witness. It's so easy to invite people to church when they're inviting themselves. Hey, you're a pastor, right? I'd like to come to your church. Okay. I want you to hear a powerful testimony that happened last year during prayer and fasting. I want my friend from South Africa to come up, who's visiting with us again from Durban, South Africa. He flew to be a part of prayer and fasting last year. Come as quickly as you can. You know, some people, I wonder if they're actually participating on the fast, but with him, I never wonder. When he stands sideways, you can't see him. Two-dimensional. Yeah. So I said, it's nice to have you back. He said, well, the reason I came back is because of what God did for me last year during fasting and prayer, and it really touched my heart. So I want you to tell everybody your name, where you're from, and what the Lord did for you on fasting and prayer.
Thank you. My name's Noreen. I'm a South African that looks like an Indian but speaks the Queen's English. So,
Durban, South Africa, where he's from, has the largest population of Indians outside of India, of any city. So, just thought I'd throw that in.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, so I was here for 21 days of fasting and prayer last year, just to consecrate myself for the year ahead. Little did I know that my family, my biological parents back home, who were radical Hindus, actually. They used to sacrifice animals and so forth to idols as per their custom from back in the day. And for me to even...
Just explain to my friends here how astronomically impossible it is for a hardcore blood sacrificing the idol Hindu couple to receive Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's, I mean, in most cases, if that had to, if one of their children or a family member had to forsake that, they would disregard the family, they would disregard their family member altogether. So it's really quite severe.
I'll let you go, I promise. I have a friend that I preach for in India, Pastor Prakash. When he, you know what happened? He was sick. He was totally bedridden at 15. His dad was not only similar, he not only was an idol worshiper, and I mean idol worshiper, not you got a statue up in your house, like pray to idols. And he not only did that, he was a high priest in that sect of Hinduism. So he was sick, and they brought in all the top people from whatever you'd call it, denomination of Hinduism, and he couldn't get any better. An old lady was at a Pentecostal prayer meeting, and while she was praying in tongues, the Lord showed her a vision of a 15-year-old boy that was sick in bed, and she went and found the house, and then just walked right in because the Lord told her to, like Moses with Pharaoh, just walk right in. Walked right into somebody's house. Old lady comes over to him. She said, I remembered thinking, who is this? Who's this old lady? She put her hands on him, saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And he said, I immediately got better. And I heard her pray in the name of Jesus. So I went to find out who Jesus was. And he ended up getting saved shortly. And then a miracle, he found videos back then, reel to reel, I think, or early VHS of Kenneth Hagin. Started watching it every day. So he wouldn't go back to the temple. He started going to the Pentecostal church. When his father found out about it, he didn't know this, but a guy saw him in town one day and said, you're alive? I just attended your funeral. His father had a full funeral for his son. Not disowned. You're dead. They announced that he was dead. And he slept in a bus stop for a number of years near a Pentecostal church. And now he has churches all over India. And that's when I met him. So when I tell you that it is a radical thing, it's not like converting, like you went to one of the churches in the area and now you come to Revival Today Church. This is like a big deal. So I wanted him to share this because there's people that have parents they think are so far gone or their child's so far gone. And you could not be more far gone than this. Idol worship, I can tell, like, you know, Pittsburgh has a huge population of people from India. We have our own cricket league. I'll meet people from India. There's a hard look in people's eyes, and it's not just for India. If people worship idols, they're it's different. The devil's involved. And actually, countries that have idol worship with blood, that's where you get where you'll start preaching. You know, 13 people just throw themselves on the ground and start slithering around on the floor. It's different. So to have parents that are involved in that will disown you if they find out you're coming to this church, what a guy. You know, and last year, Durban was still on lockdown. There were no churches open in that part of South Africa. So he gets on a plane and flies here because he wanted to go to church. Look at the reward for honoring God. Those that honor me, I will honor.
Right, so during my time here last year for 21 days of fasting and prayer, I was just pressing in. And just before I continue, as Pastor Jonathan was mentioning, there are many people that may have parents that are yet to get saved and so forth. And even from many years ago, since I've been saved, a lot of people used to ask me, you know, which church do your parents go to? And I would say, well, I wouldn't say they weren't saved, because I used to say that, no, they actually are saved and they are Christian, but they yet to find a church, because the Word of God says that when one is saved, that entire household shall be saved. So I was calling that thing, which was not as if it was already. And to see it manifest, I am by all means not surprised, because my faith, because I called it beforehand, it was just a matter of manifesting in this physical realm. And but you see it happen, of course, it's you know, something of a testimony of the goodness of God and His Word. And the Word of God is not just a promise, it's not just full of promises, but it's a covenant that if we partner with it, we'll get exactly what it says we can. And so just to get straight to the point and make the short story even longer, what I would say is that, as I was pressing in over here, my parents were listening to Pastor Jonathan on YouTube because they wanted to know what church I was in and so forth. And as they were listening to him minister, they actually took a liking towards him. Really? That's quite a revelation, right? Well, they just liked your no-nonsense kind of approach, because in South Africa, there's a lot of pansy-faced preachers. And so it was quite, it really was a breath of fresh air to see a man of God that preaches the Word of God like it is, and that's transparent. Hence the reason why I flew to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because I could resonate with many of you guys as to how phony baloney it really was in the rest of the world. Basically, as they were listening to you, it obviously built their faith. And really ugly scene had occurred in the midst of that time, and which I believe was like the last gasp attack of the enemy trying to resist them from being saved, really. Just to get straight to the point, my mother encountered Jesus in her bedroom. And I know when many people share this, you would think they, you know, cray-cray because of because of what it's like. But my mother actually said to me that she saw a man with a ginger beard and a garment stand in front of her in that living in her bedroom at a late night hour, and it happened more than once. And when she said, "Jesus, is it you?" he stretched her hands towards her. And she's a type of woman, I mean, whether you believe it or not, but she's a type of woman that when someone goes from a radical Hindu to being saved, when there's fruit involved in that, it's undeniable. So with my dad, I mean, he manifested for a period of time since she was getting closer to the Lord, and eventually they gave the heart to Jesus in an ordeal that occurred, and so forth. But yeah, it's just been such a, you know, if that's the only thing God had done for me in that time of prayer and fasting last year, it's something I'm grateful for all eternity. And so there you go.
Well, one more thing. The couple that got called out, that's my youth pastor and my youth pastor's wife from when I was a teenager. And I wanted him to just tell you people what he told me, because I've been so proud. Not that you need me to be proud of you, but it is, you know, I've only been pastoring for 13 months. There is kind of a thing where you are like, people are ashamed of their families, And then there's people that are proud of their families. I'm proud to bring people here. I'm proud to bring the top preachers here. And they all say, man, what a great group of people. Nobody moves. I don't know if you all went to Catholic school or what, but one service starts, nobody leaves till it's dismissed. And listen and attentive. And then my youth pastor told me something, and I wanted him to share it with you because you should hear it because it's about you. So come and just tell the people what you told me. This is Brother Dean Craig.
I was telling Brother Jonathan that one of the things that has drawn us to come here, we live in Maine. One of the things that has drawn us to come here is that every time we come here, you people are so full. You love people. I've been in church all my life from the time I was small. And I've been in good churches, and I've been in Holy Ghost churches and Word of Faith churches. But not everybody loves people. And it challenges me when I come here. Everybody I meet, everybody on the pastoral staff and the workers in the parking lot, you love people. You have the heart of Jesus. And please don't let that go, because it is precious.
Love you. Give the Lord another wonderful hand clap tonight. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. And be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.